Welcome to a Fresh Perspective podcast, catering to the latest in ingredient trends, consumer insights, and food news. Brought to you by Corbion.
Hello, and welcome to a Fresh Perspective podcast, the podcast where we talk about everything food. Today, we have a wonderful guest. I'm excited to introduce her. Her name is Lee Sanders. She is the Senior Vice President of Government Relations and Public Affairs with the ABA, the American Bakers Association, and she's also the Corporate Secretary. Welcome, Lee.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jenny.
Absolutely. We are here today to talk about literally one of the biggest buzzwords of the last 2 years. It's the thing everyone talks about. When I go to the grocery store and they don't have my brand of ketchup, my first thing that I say out loud to no one is supply chain. We're here today to talk a little bit about what that is, what that means, and kind of, you know, what we can look forward to in the future. So maybe you could kick us off by talking a little bit about what impacts COVID truly had upon the supply chain, just to kind of give us a baseline.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think about where we've come through, what's happened in the last 2 to 3 years. It's really just amazing. And so, you know, to start, ABA was thinking about, you know, we had three really priorities as we were coming through this, and that was to keep our members and their staff, their workers safe, to keep their plants operational, and to get food to the shelves and to restaurants for American families. And so we're still there. We're still dealing with these issues now, compounded on top of that COVID reentry and people trying to get back to normal. We're also dealing with supply chain issues in the face of the Ukrainian war. And so that really complicates things. I think the number one issue is the labor force and making sure that, you know, what we hear from our members is that they, you know, they need to make sure they have workers at their plants for every shift. And so that's the number one priority. And so that's been impacted by COVID, and certainly the supply chain issues with ingredients, logistics, and all those things that we'll get into. It's a complicated situation, but it all started with the COVID supply chain concerns, you know, and thinking about the ingredients and where they come from and how they're produced. We weren't sure that we would have a steady supply of the ingredients that are needed to make bakery products. And so thinking that, having discussions with FDA about regulatory flexibilities, those were all things that in the early days that consumed us and still really consume us today.
Yeah. And I can see where maybe even, you know, the fact that everyone stayed home and were, you know, trying at the beginning, people were really focused on making like their own gourmet food at home because they couldn't go out to restaurants. And I wonder if that, you know, also can, you know, contributed to the problem of maybe not even supply chain, but just availability of ingredients that you might be used to, you know, getting your hands on.
Well, it definitely was, there was a shift. And so you saw more demand on the retail side and a shift from maybe food service. So, you know, production as well as ingredients and what was needed. So that was definitely a shift. But one thing that I would say, as people were spending more time with their families and feeding their families, one thing that rose to the top is that they loved baking bread. They loved the idea of baking. And so in a way, I think that COVID really had folks reconnect with their love of baked goods. And so that's a trend that we're continuing to see today.
It's so funny that you say that because that's us, like in my life. My children learned to bake over the, you know, past 2.5 years of COVID. And I started, you know, my own sourdough starter and all kinds of things that I never would have dreamed of doing before. And some of those things we are carrying on. So it does make sense, you know. So let's talk a little bit about the raw materials. You mentioned the war in Ukraine. And I know that I've read a few articles about how Ukraine does supply a good deal of the world's wheat supply. you know, how are you seeing that play out? Are we looking for substitutions or alternatives? Is it making things cost more?
Well, it is a real issue. And so with the Ukrainian situation with wheat, let's start there. They supply a lot of Asia, the Middle East, African nations. And so there's going to be more of a demand for wheat from other sources. The U.S. is one of the big five, right? And so, but we're not having such a great year with the drought that's out there and the winter wheat crop coming in. It's a concern. How are things going to proceed? Is there going to be more demand for U.S. wheat or Canadian wheat? And what does that do to the global supply? Right. There's a lot of grain that's sitting there at the ports in the Ukraine that can't get out. And so that is a huge concern with regard to a potential famine globally and what that means. But, you know, let's not stop at wheat. I think more importantly for the bakers or the U.S. bakers is what does this mean with the sunflower oil market? And so the majority of sunflower oil does come from the Ukraine. And so sunflower oil is really important if you're using it, if you want to make a GMO-free claim, you know, that's the best oil to use. And if you can't do that, then you're potentially going to have to shift to a different oil and maybe change your labeling, your claims, your packaging. And so soy oil is probably the best alternative. There are others, of course. You know, we already have an issue and there's a huge supply strain on soybean oil for bakers and other food suppliers. I've spent a lot of time on that over the last 2 years. And we're in a kind of a war between food versus fuel. The U.S. EPA Renewable Fuel Program sets renewable volume obligations for both ethanol and then for biodiesel and renewable diesel. And the biodiesel, renewable diesel, that potentially takes away from the soybean oil supply for food manufacturers. And unfortunately, even though we spent a lot of time talking to EPA, USDA, the Small Business Administration, the White House Domestic Policy Council, and the President's Supply Chain Task Force. They didn't hear us. They didn't listen. And they did increase those quotas moving forward. So there'll be a billion more gallons of soy oil going towards energy use rather than food. And so that's really concerning. And as you see in the press, there's a lot of discussion that other countries recognize the issue. They recognize, they see what's coming with regard to a potential famine and lack of ingredients. And so they're changing their stance on renewable fuels, at least on the biodiesel, renewable diesel side. And they're not going to be using their food crops for energy use. And so it's concerning that the U.S. has taken a different position. They're full steam ahead. And it's going to have repercussions. And it's something that we're going to continue to address for the bakers and for the food industry.
And I can see that that would continue anyway, because now is when you start planning for next year's crop. Right? Exactly. Like, I mean, maybe you're not putting the seeds in the ground right now, but you're planning for it. And in the Ukraine, I mean, are they planning for a next year's crop? I would expect that they're not, or maybe not nearly the number of farmers would be planning for that. And so, you know, how much, it's like, how much longer is this going to go on? And really, where do the priorities lie? Is it food? Is it energy? I mean, it's definitely a concerning thing.
It's scary. And then on top of that, we've got inflation. And so there's a lot that's going on. I think the administration's plan to move forward isn't working to help ease inflation. And so it's making the situation worse. And so we've got almost the perfect storm of bad things that are moving forward. We've got a drought. We've got a war, we've got inflation. And so we've got to come up with solutions that'll help the bakers, that'll help the food industry and the full stream of supply chain partners.
Right.
At Corbion, the word impossible doesn't stop us. It gets us going. As a leading global ingredient supplier, we create sustainable food solutions based on renewable resources and natural processes. We are obsessed with solving impossible challenges for our customers. Let's partner together to find solutions unique to you and preserve what matters most. Corbion, keep creating.
So when we think about bakers and their needs, if we look at specific products, do the demands for these items, do they change in fresh versus frozen, you know, applications?
Well, that's a good question. I would look at this as bakers are looking at their supply chain, the ingredients that are available. I think everyone has learned to be very nimble and very flexible. And then they're having to make tough decisions on what products that they're going to produce and maybe limiting their lines and thinking strategically about where there's the most demand, what consumers want, because, you know, bakers always want to be responsive to the consumer's needs. And so fresh is important, and people expect to see it on the shelf. And I think frozen is just as important, that there's the convenience there. And so it's really about...
It lasts longer.
Consumers want, and does everyone have the ingredients needed and the workforce there to produce? I know that a lot of bakers that I've talked to are having to limit their lines and limit their shifts, and that's not an ideal situation.
Yeah, certainly not. What I'm hearing you say is that we there's no end that we can see, right? Like there, I assume there will be an end to this, but for right now, we know there's a war. We know that the supply chain issues, from the labor force simply to things sitting in port, that we don't have enough labor there to move things through the countries. It seems like right now there truly is no end in sight. You know, you work with the American Bakers Association. How can we talk to bakers about this? How can we tell them, you know, talk to them about how to prepare for this new way of working until things do change back, if they do?
Right. I think that the bakers and their supply partners have done a good job of communicating. And what I would say, it's so important to have those clear lines of communication in place and to also have, you know, alternate plans. And so people have their trusted suppliers. That's so important. But sometimes you may need more than one supplier. You might have to kind of think about an overall strategic approach to make sure you always have the ingredients you need to make your products that your consumers want and desire. And so you've got to think about lead time. And there's been a huge change in just in time. There's no such thing as just in time. Just in time is now 2 to 3 weeks at a minimum. And so you also have to think about storage. You have to think about logistics, spoilage, shelf life, all those things that are so important for bakers. And so it's a change, a shift in strategy. And it takes the entire chain of both the companies and their suppliers, their trusted supplier partners, to have those tough discussions, to be really candid with each other and make sure if they can't deliver, that your bakers know that in advance so that they can shift as part of their overall strategy. But it's tough for everyone.
Yeah, I truly can't imagine working within a business that relies almost entirely upon wheat and oil and not being able to get it in time. I wonder a little bit about, when it comes to that spoilage and the microorganisms, are bakers looking at new infrastructures within their facilities to hopefully maybe keep some of these things fresher longer so that they can plan ahead?
Bakers are always looking at great opportunities for innovation. And I think, you know, from what I hear, especially during COVID, that the teams did have time to really think about that innovation and think about new ways to approach projects. And so I think that we're going to see, and we're already starting to see, some great innovation in the industry.
Excellent. So innovation is key and the watchword here. Lee, thank you so much for joining me on The Fresh Perspective today. You've been a great guest and we'd love to have you back.
Thanks, Jenny. I'd love that. And thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for joining us today for the Fresh Perspective. Till next time, preserve what matters.
Thank you for listening to a Fresh Perspective podcast brought to you by Corbion. Please like, subscribe, and follow us on the bakerstake.com and the corbioncut.com. Until next time, preserve what matters.